Well, I can't say forever, but I can say for now, I'm not going to respond to the critics, and you need to know why.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, no hype, no exaggeration. This is really a very important show. I've been praying about it, preparing for it to make it worthwhile, helpful, edifying, full of truth, full of grace. Want to do everything I do based on love, based on truth, for the glory of God and for the good of the body. And I want to explain why. I can't say forever, but certainly for now, why I am going to 100% ignore the attacks of the critics and not respond. If you want to weigh in personally, or you're one of those I'd consider a critic, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. And my phone lines will always be open. Someone can always call and say, what about this? What about that? But when I'm called out, when I'm challenged, when things are posted, I often respond. Now, many of you say, why bother? Look, there is a colleague of mine, an evangelist, and he was asked why he didn't respond to the critics, and he was literally reaching millions in third world countries, and he said, I'm not getting off a combine harvester to catch a mouse. In other words, it's a total distraction from the work. And many other leading ministries have just had a policy for decades, we don't respond to critics. We focus on the work God's given us to do. We don't respond to critics. You say, well, Mike, why do you often do it? I do it to try to be helpful. I do it to try to illustrate truth and illustrate how to handle conflict. And one reason I do it with a lot of critics of the charismatic movement is because many of you who follow my ministry are not yourselves charismatic. In other words, I'm in a couple of different worlds. I'm in the charismatic revival circles, and preaching and looking to see God move in the power of the Spirit. And then I'm in academic circles, like my Job commentary that comes out in a few weeks, and lecturing at apologetics conferences and teaching at seminaries. And then I'm in the culture wars and then Jewish evangelism. So many of you follow me in these other ways and look to me in these other ways where we can be of help to you. And when the critics raise things, you say, well, that Dr. Brown, that seems valid. Or what about this? Or I'm troubled by that. So I'm trying to help as many as I can. I have no interest in defending me. But if I can explain something or show why a criticism is unfair or wrong, then I will certainly do that. But I just want you to understand, though, that the spirit of many of the critics is so extreme that the circle of who's right, who's true, who's accurate keeps getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And that should show you right there something is wrong. And if you think that you and your little group are the only ones right, that is very, very troubling. Here, let me just give you an example of something. Some months back, people send me a link to the apostasy report. I had no idea who the gentleman was doing it, and said, you need to look at this. And it's like an hour, hour and a half attacking me and my views. Well, that's the last thing I have time to do. I've got writing deadlines. I've got other things to do and prayer needs and others to minister to. But anyway, I see the fellow seems to have a following and so on, maybe very sincere. But I just compiled this list last night of people that the apostasy report has recently gone after. Let's see. They're going after now PureFlix. So PureFlix Network, which is a great Christian alternative to Netflix and help get the unplanned movie out. So PureFlix, they're bad now. And look who's Ray Comfort, Ken Ham. So it's Pure Lies. Okay, let's look at another one. Let's see here. Ravi Zacharias is now a bad guy, okay? Ravi Zacharias. All right, how about this one? The Southern Baptist Convention, SBC. So they're bad, right? So Al Mohler, all of them, they're bad. Or how about this one? John MacArthur. John MacArthur is now a bad guy. John MacArthur is now a bad guy, all right? The author of Strange Fire, an arch-charismatic critic whom I honor as an elder in the Lord in the midst of our differences, he's a bad guy. All right. Francis Chan is now evil. Okay. Francis Chan. Matt Chandler. He's somehow in cahoots with evil. All right. Todd Friel, one of my most frequent critics, Richard Rader, who calls me dangerous and questions what I'm saying. Todd Friel is on this guy's hit list. How about this? Times Square Church. Carter Conlon. Well, I haven't seen him in years, but old colleague Carter Conlon, who took the pulpit from David Wilkerson. Times Square Church is now bad. How about this? Pirate Christian Radio, right. Another one of my more frequent critics. I get sent a lot of links. I don't actually watch them or listen to them, but get sent a lot of those links. Pirate Christian Radio, they're bad guys, okay? So Chris Roseborough's a bad guy. And then Paul Washer, holiness, repentance, preaching, Paul Washer. I guess he's in cahoots with the Pope. He's bad. And, of course, me, yours truly. So to be candid with you, and apology to radio because they had me on, to be candid with you, if I wasn't on this guy's list, I'd think I was doing something wrong. Nonetheless, if he professes to be a follower of Jesus and his statement of faith holds to the fundamentals of the faith, I would consider him a brother. Just like a charismatic that's flaky way out there and into weird stuff and preaches, you know, success in life, gospel and stuff, but has made a profession of faith, claims Jesus is Lord, and their basic doctrinal statement is orthodox, then I look at that person as a brother as well. In other words, I'm going to try to be gracious on both sides. But this hypercriticism, friends, it is self-devouring. It is self-devouring. The circles keep getting smaller and smaller. You got to recognize it goes in the wrong direction. And what I'm curious about is the critics who are tearing down everyone, and this one is so bad, and that one's so bad, and this one's guilt by association, and so on. Well, could you just show me all the people you're leading to the Lord? Could you show me all the people that you're discipling? As you're attacking the prosperity preachers, and I've written for years against the prosperity gospel, could you show me the millions of dollars that you're giving to spread the gospel around the world and to feed the poor and to help the needy? In other words, it's easy to throw stones. You know, James says, show me your faith by your works. If you're so orthodox, let's see God. Let's see the people genuinely being born again. Let's see the disciples being made. Let's see the missionaries being sent out in the foreign field. Let's see the gospel workers going to the hurting and the poor. Show me the good fruit. Any of us could sit around and criticize. Friends, I've got the academic background and the acumen to tear down a whole lot of preachers and teachers out there by the moment. Criticize this and criticize this if I fault with this. How does that edify? How does that help? Major error? Absolutely, we're going to deal with. Major issues? Absolutely. But friends, Paul gave this warning in Galatians 5, if you bite and devour one another, take heed lest you are consumed by one another. Also, you have to realize that there are critics who engage in unethical behavior. Unethical behavior. They literally post lies about you. Misinformation, secondhand, twisted. And some of them I have confronted privately. All right. And then finally give up confronting with them when they call me a false prophet and the devil when I'm trying to reach out to them graciously and say, you're posting falsehoods. Okay. So I'm done. I don't deal with those people. I pray for them. God's my witness. I pray, oh God, your very best for them. I don't pray, God, bring them down. I pray, God, your very best for them. And then here's what I pray. God, wherever they have a blind spot or they're in error, wherever I have a blind spot or error, please show them, please show it. That's why I pray. I don't even pray a judgmental prayer because I fear God and I don't want to come across as the perfectly self-righteous one. But friends, I've just watched for too long critics acting unethically and unfortunately, in the 31-minute reply that Justin Peters sent out, it's unethical. It is misleading. And unethical. And I'm going to tell you why. With love, I wrote to Justin privately and told him how terribly disappointed I was by the video. You could say, what are you talking about? He's very gracious. You're going to see in a moment how dangerous and how misleading and how unethical these things are. And friends, it doesn't advance the gospel. It doesn't bring people to Jesus. And it doesn't even add to the purity and the strength of the body. And that's why for years, in so many different ways, I've tried to reach out. If you want to question my discernment in reaching out to critics, okay? Tell me I'm naive. That I'll accept, all right? because I've tried so many times, and I've tried behind the scenes so many times, and I've reached out so many ways. I was interacting with one brother years ago. He said, why is our approval so important to you? I said, I don't want your approval. I don't care about your approval. It's very uncomfortable for me to reach out. But I think if we could come together in a unified way and discuss things for the good of the body, it would be helpful. It is flesh killing for me to reach out to certain people because it puts me in a lower position to reach out to someone that just lied about me. Okay? You say, why don't you name their names? Because I've dealt with them privately. And I'm not trying to embarrass them publicly. There is a time to name names, and there's a time not to. So I will address certain things with certain charismatic Pentecostals by name and play a clip or give a quote and say, oh, I differ with. Same with critics, as I'll do today. But in plenty of other times, the great majority, I'm dealing with people privately because naming names, you have to be careful. Because the moment you name a name, the person becomes totally demonized in certain people's eyes. You know how many people want me to call out Justin Peters and John MacArthur and Phil Johnson and Todd Friel and say they're not saved? You know how many people, why don't you call them out? And then from the other side, they're saying, how come you won't call out this one, that one, and say they're not saved? Why don't you say Todd White is going to hell? Why don't you say Joel Osteen is going to hell? Why don't you? Okay, so you just see where this goes. However, I will deal with error. I will deal with issues. And I have for decades. Can I just point this out? Go back to 1989, the end of the American Gospel Enterprise. All right? I wrote The End of the American Gospel Enterprise, 1989, my first book on repentance, revival. It's the second full book that I wrote. All right? And it's addressed, forward by Leonard Ravenhill, author of Revival Terry's, very close friend the last 5 years of his life. Incredible honor to have that privilege. And it was the it was mainly addressing charismatic Pentecostal issues and the Church of America in that context. Then 1990, how saved are we? How saved are we? Okay. Who was I primarily addressing and how saved are we? Has the church fallen asleep in the enemy's lap? Largely addressing the charismatic Church of America, because those are the circles in which I traveled. Then 1991, whatever happened to the power of God? What's the subtitle? Has the charismatic church fallen asleep? Has the charismatic church slain in the spirit or down for the count? And then followed in 93 by It's Time to Rock the Boat. All right? All these books addressing issues within the charismatic Pentecostal movement and then Playing with Holy Fire. Playing with Holy Fire, which came out last year, a wake-up call to the Pentecostal charismatic church. Playing with Holy Fire. I've been addressing issues for decades. If you're going to say, well, we won't listen to you until you name this one name and say they're a heretic and go to hell, I'm not playing that game. And if I have to play that game for you to listen to me, I am really sorry because I'm not going to play it.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire. I'm explaining why, at least for now and for the indefinite future, I'm simply not responding to the charismatic critics, the critics of the charismatic movement, the ones that want me to name this name. If I don't damn this one to hell, they won't interact with me in a constructive way. Friends, it's unethical. Friends, it's unbiblical, and I'm going to tell you why. Now, look, please understand, Todd Friel has my phone number. Justin Peters has my phone number. Some of them have my email. Many others have my email. If they ever want to contact me, they can contact me, just so that can be known. But I reached out to Justin Peters again. I had done it months earlier. I reached out again, said, rather than a debate, you want to debate Word of Faith with me. I don't want to debate Word of Faith because I'm not Word of Faith, okay? You want to debate Benny Hinn, Kenneth Copeland? I'm not in their ministries. I don't support their ministries. I'm not going to debate that. You want to debate divine healing? I'll debate it. Doesn't want to debate that. I said, well, let's have a pastoral discussion where you and I, with our differences, can speak to the sick and the suffering and how do we deal with Scripture and how does this work itself out? So he puts out a 31-minute video, over one-third of which is devoted to Todd Bentley, okay? This is why I say it's unethical and it's misleading, all right? He puts this out, explaining graciously why he won't have the pastoral discussion. So I am publicly addressing it because I've been asked to by many, but that's it. You can always call me and ask me a question on the air, all right? But I'm done addressing these things. he or others can post 50 follow-up videos. God bless them. Let them do what they want to do. But not going to happen from here. It's too much of a waste of time, too much taking time away from others that could be helped. Again, I've reached out to try to help my friends that are not charismatic or those that are generally confused by these things. And the phone lines are always open for you to call, all right? But here's what troubles me. Next month makes 48 years since God saved me, all right? 48 years, or 2 months from now, 48 years. And over that time, by his grace, I spent many thousands of hours on my knees and in the Word and in prayer. And God knows how many hours studying and breaking my teeth on the languages and working hard to learn and to understand in the fear of God. And then ministering to people who are hurting and sick and preaching and serving around the world, countless thousands of hours bringing the Word. All right, my great privilege and honor. I had so many questions about the issue of healing that I wrote my doctoral dissertation on the Hebrew word for healing. And then it is the most comprehensive study ever done on the Hebrew root Rapha, which then made its way into the Theological Dictionary of the Old Testament and the New International Dictionary of Old Testament Theology and Exegesis. Then I went back through the word once again and spent a few more years of work and wrote the book Israel's Divine Healer. Israel's Divine Healer, all right? It is 465 pages long, thereabouts, 462. It is 165,000 words long, 85,000 words just in the endnotes. It is, to my knowledge, because I focused on this for years, the most authoritative comprehensive study of divine healing ever done in any language. All right? I've worked hard on this before God, sought him with tears over these issues, watched friends die as we prayed for their healing, okay? Been there to do the funerals, carried the pain and the weight of all of this, just like everyone else does, has dealt with people close to me that were sick chronically, studied the word intensively, sought to minister. And you are not going to dismiss decades of prayer and study and fasting and serious ministry, all right? And being in the trenches with hurting people, and then put together a video where you spend a third of it pointing to Todd Bentley as if that has anything whatsoever to do with me or my discernment or my ability to be pastoral. That, friends, is unethical. That, friends, is out of order. That, friends, is either unintentionally misleading or intentionally deceptive. I got an email, a text from a pastor today. God forbid I should be critical of another brother, but the video reply of Justin Peters seems to have used theological cloaking to hide from direct conversation, which seems very not courageous and not brave and somewhat not honorable to maintain his comfort level as opposed to interactive relationship building. I got to ask, would the Lord do that? I consider challenging his freedom to take shots at you at a distance rather than doing some real good and having a conversation that may lead to better understanding, but that's just a thought. God bless. It's a good thought. So I'm going to share with you what I've emailed to Justin months back. We were supposed to talk by phone months ago. Never got back to me with the time. I've tried, friends. I have tried over and over again. So he posted a totally misleading tweet as if I was in support of ministry spending millions of dollars to buy private jets, okay, which I've publicly spoken against, and he knows. So he pulled the tweet, all right, and I wrote to him. This is June of this year, all right? Justin, thanks for taking your tweet down. That gives me hope again. I forgive you from the heart. I also make one request. You have access to me via email and phone. If you have a question, don't tweet an accusation. Ask me. Fair enough? As for both of us dropping the ball at times, and he claimed I failed to respond to some of his emails, I'll accept that. To respond to your email, because he asked specific questions, I've made it clear I reject the carnal prosperity message and have said many times that sentiments like the one you attached here from Creflo, he's 77 from Creflo Dollar, are heretical. I said it again this week. Two, I wrote that Creflo wasn't getting a dime from me for a $64 million jet, and I've rebuked the luxury lifestyle. At the same time, I have colleagues with very large ministries and used jets they get for a few a few hundred thousand dollars, which they share with others. And it's good stewardship for them to have these jets. If you sat on their board, you'd likely agree with me. In the same day, when ministering overseas with the intensity of my schedule at home and abroad, and with my height, it's good stewardship for me to travel business class overseas, but the big issue is stewardship. To me, that's light years away from the luxury lifestyle and buying and maintaining mega expensive private jets. So I'm on record against this. You spend a whole video quoting all these other leaders and ignoring everything I've taught and written and preached for decades, that's disingenuous, man. That is deflection. And that's what grieves me. It grieves me because people think, oh, wow, so I guess Dr. Brown has to explain. No, I don't have to explain what others do. I'm not the policeman or the pope of the charismatic movement. Any more than if you're a Baptist, you have to apologize for every wingnut on the street, you know, saying God's going to damn you to hell if you don't use the King James Bible. Come on, friends, we got to do better than this. We got to do better. Here's what I continue to write. Regarding your letter, the purpose of my show, when I did a show about Kenneth Copeland, was not to respond to your letter and not to assess the whole ministry of Copeland. The purpose of the show was to make the Copeland video into a teachable moment to help us deal with issues like this in maturity. Nonetheless, I wanted my audience to know the severity of some of the charges brought against Copeland, hence reading your letter. So I read a letter from Justin Peters listing all his charges against Kenneth Copeland. He teaches this, 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 this. I said, if he's guilty of all that, then he's a heretic. You say, where's your discernment? I've never investigated it. I don't listen to it. I'm not rejecting him and hating him. I'm simply saying I've not read his books. I've not listened to his messages. I don't watch his TV show. So I haven't investigated. I said, if all that's true, then he's a heretic. Others have known him for decades and decades and said he loves the Lord. He's a believer. But, you know, we differ with him on carnal prosperity and some other things. Okay. So if the same way I look at some of these hypercritics, I call Justin Peters a brother. I call J.D. Hall, a brother, okay? Or Joshua Chavis, some of these guys that have come after me in the strongest terms. Why? Because they made a profession of faith. They claim Jesus is Lord, and their statement of faith is orthodox. Same with Kenneth Copeland. I look at his statement of faith online, all right? You say, well, you need to investigate more. I'm not called to investigate everybody you want me to investigate. I have whole books critiquing issues in the charismatic Pentecostal movement. That's where I stand. And it is this game of the critics. They may be very serious about it. But no. Before we're going to listen to you, you have to name this. In other words, you have to come into agreement with us before we'll debate you. Come on, friends. This is really, really bad, really, really disingenuous. So anyway, at the end of the letter, I go through a few more things. He said, have you seen my most recent DVDs? I said, no, send them to me. I never got them. He sent me DVDs years ago. I hadn't watched them. I told him I hadn't. He goes, well, I have them updated. I said, send them. I said, but please be sure whatever you say is in context, because I've seen videos where guys are quoted completely out of context, completely out of context. And then they're critiqued accordingly. So I said, send them to me and I'll watch. Never got them. We made an appointment. Let's try to talk by phone, get an email. Okay, got a doctor's appointment. I'll let you know I can talk. That was 3 months ago. Because he said, I fear we're talking past each other. I said, great, then let's talk. I'm still waiting for it. So I reiterated publicly what I put in the email, all right, which is, let's have a pastoral discussion. Here are the exact words. I said, as for your declining to debate me on divine healing, in fact, Dr. White and I only debated the subject in part. Why not present our differing views but with pastoral hearts, addressing issues and abuses with honesty? How could that hurt? As for your offer to debate you on Copeland or him, why on earth would I do that? I'm not in their camps. I have no relationship with them, and I don't agree with some of their teaching or practice. And I said, the fact is, when someone called you and Chris Roseborough from Pirate Radio false Christians on Twitter, I defended you as true believers, but took issue with your spreading falsehoods. In the same way, I defend Bill Johnson as a brother, even while dialoguing with him privately about differences we have. So look, here's what happens. The cessationist critics of the charismatic movement, they don't open the door wide, all right? So they're not going to let all this crazy error in, they would say. But they're going to damn a whole lot of brothers and sisters. Charismatics, they open the door too wide. And they bring in all kinds of junk, but they don't go around damning everybody else to hell. Each one has a strength and weakness, which is why I keep trying to bring people together. But look, friends, you are not going to deflect. And Justin, sir, you're not going to deflect for the real issues by putting out a video about Kenneth Copeland and Todd White and Todd Bentley and others and deflect from the issues I'm trying to present. And my friend, I have the ability, the grace, the credentials to present them and discuss them. I'm trying to help people. I'm trying to help the body.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I try not to be frustrated, but it's a little frustrating when you say something like 10 times. Someone comes in after the 10th time and accuses you of never saying something. I'm just looking at some comments here. But praise the Lord. We do our best to move forward. Michael Brown, welcome to The Line of Fire. I'm explaining why I'm just not going to be responding to critics of the charismatic movement, at least for the indefinite future. Taking my time to explain why, and you say, why even do it at all? Because, again, many of you who listen to me, watch me, are not charismatic yourselves. You have genuine questions. Some are confused by certain teaching out there. And you look to me as if I'm responsible to renounce everything and every day point out what's wrong. That's not what God called me to do. I don't sit around looking at what's happening in the body on all sides and call that out every day. But let me just say this. The Holy Spirit's moving wonderfully and gloriously around the world. And I will, at any time in any fair environment, all right, where there's equal time in a moderated academic debate, have an academic, theological, scholarly debate as to whether the gifts of the Spirit, healing, miracles, tongues, prophecy are for today. Anytime. To me, it is a very serious issue when people reject what the Holy Spirit is doing around the earth today. But I don't brand those people false teachers who are going to hell. If they're brothers and sisters in the Lord, I look at them as having a serious error there, but I do my best to work with them for the common good, to reach a dying world so the world can know about Jesus, and to edify the body and to help those with honest questions and issues, all right? But a time comes when it is a waste of time, when it takes you away from other things, and where it is a no-win situation with critics, because of which I am not going to continue to address, all right? Now, you can always call in with a question, 866-348-7884, and critics can always call in. Phone lines are open. I'm just looking at a comment interacting with things with Justin Peters. It looks like I challenged him online publicly. I just followed up with an email from months earlier with a personal letter I sent to him proposing something when I never heard back, just saying, hey, wouldn't this be great to have an edifying discussion about thus and such in a pastoral way? And then presented it publicly, because I didn't get a response privately, presented it publicly, and waiting for time we're supposed to talk by phone to talk some of these things through private. So I'm constantly trying to do that, friends, constantly trying to do it. We'll keep doing it. But here's where I have an issue, okay? Justin Peters questions my discernment because I post a picture on Instagram with Todd White saying I appreciate his heart for the Lord. And according to Justin, he's a heretic, false teacher, therefore hellbound. He's died right now, hellbound. Justin, you're quite sure about that? I just hope that God has a little different view than sometimes you and I do, because we can often miss it. But in any case, I met Todd for the first time in Pensacola a few weeks ago. Asked if he'd spend some time with me. He really wanted to learn from me. He really wanted to have me as someone that could speak into his life. He shared his heart for the Lord, his love for the Lord, his passion for God, for the lost, and for holiness. We had a great talk. Only time I met him. Never heard him preach before that. All right? Never, nothing. Zero. Okay? So, first time we met face-to-face, he in a hotel restaurant, he got on his knees and asked me to lay hands on him and pray that God would give him wisdom. He humbled himself. Then I heard him preach that night. All right? No, it was not systematic exposition, but overall it was a word really calling people to surrender their lives to the Lord and turn away from sin. And in it, he quoted more scripture than I would say your average pastor uses in a month of sermons, scripture after scripture after scripture. But he wanted input from me. And I thought, I may never hear him preach again for years. So I took copious notes and the next day sat with him and said, hey, let me give you some, oh, Dr. Brown, thank you, man, thank you. Wow, thank you. I appreciate this. Thank you. And then I said, explain why you hold to this position. All the verses. Verse there. I said, okay, I don't agree with that, but I see where you're coming from. All right, so go ahead and question my discernment. I haven't watched all the other stuff. I haven't evaluated it. Go ahead. All right, but here's what's most grievous to me. All right, I spent decades, as I said, in the Word, in prayer, and studying the issue of healing, and praying for the sick, and watching people die that we prayed for, and agonizing over that, and seeing some breakthroughs and miracles over the years as well. All right? I'm certainly qualified to talk about it on a pastoral level as well as on an academic level. So Justin Peters is explaining why he won't, and he spends, in a 31-minute video, over one-third of it talking about Todd Bentley. Okay? Over one-third talking about Todd Bentley and saying, Dr. Brown, how could I possibly have any kind of dialogue with you, pastoral dialogue, when you don't have the discernment to see that Todd Bentley should not be in ministry and you're sitting on a panel that's going to make those very evaluations? What a totally misleading thing to do. As I wrote and told Justin how disappointed I was, but I keep getting people asked, you need to, Dr. Brown, you should respond. Okay, why am I overseeing a panel and not on the panel? Because I am publicly on record as opposing Todd's ministry for over 10 years, as he knows, as Rick Joyner and others know. All right, they fully know my position. That's why I'm not sitting as a judge on the panel, all right? But he has had very serious allegations brought against him and deserves his day in court. And there are large parts of the charismatic movement, other non-charismatic parts of the church that are very independent, unaccountable. So we're trying to bring some integrity and accountability into the mix here. That's what I'm responsible for doing. Bring people together who can look at things impartially and honestly and see what's a false accusation, what's a true accusation. Everyone deserves that, all right? Everyone deserves that. Here are the accusations. What's true? What's not true? What's accurate? What's inaccurate? Has he been properly restored in the past? Should he be in ministry? Let us do things righteously and biblically, because many would say they have not been done righteously and biblically. So for me, I'm trying to make sure this is done righteously and biblically, and now I'm blasted for lack of discernment. And you're going to ignore thousands of hours of research and prayer and study on healing and scripture and all of that by pointing to Todd Bentley. That is deceptive, friends. That's very misleading, very deflecting. Okay, so how would you know my stance? It's been public. Here, look at this article on the stream where I said that we have to do better. When it comes to dealing with scandals, the church must do better than the National Enquirer. Right, so there are recent charges that came against Todd, and I said I have no comments on these. Look at this. Regarding Todd's situation, I have no specific comments since, one, I have not supported him being in ministry since his divorce and remarriage in 2008. And I am on public record to that effect. The moment it was announced, I got up in front of my home congregation. And just leave that up for a moment. I got up in front of my home congregation in Charlotte and said, we believe he should go back to his wife and children. We do not recognize this as valid. I then spoke to Rick Joyner face-to-face via email. Our team spoke to their team, pastoral team at Morningstar, and said, we reject this. We differ with it. So I've been on public record. That's why I cannot be part of a panel coming to a judgment, because I am on public record already. I want to see Todd have his day in court, so to say. I want to see charges vetted and looked at accurately, and then honest questions asked. Was he properly restored in 2008, 2009? Was he properly restored in 2013? Should he be in ministry, etc.? All right. I want to see those things done righteously, because they've never been done righteously with a number of leaders together looking at this. There's so much unaccountability in the movement. So here I am, taking all heat and flack from all sides. I'm not a martyr for doing it. I'm just being honest with you. Taking heat, flack from all sides, because we're trying to bring righteousness and accountability and integrity and restore people's confidence in how leaders do things. And for that, I get blasted for lack of discernment. That is absolutely deceptive, friends. And it's a complete deflection from the issues. Okay, you said, well, what about what happened in Lakeland? I'm on public record about that. I have no connection of any kind to Todd and his ministry. I also disagreed publicly with the way other leaders handled things in Lakeland, where Todd became prominent. So this is in my book, Authentic Fire, all right? In my book, Authentic Fire, which was a response to John MacArthur's Strange Fire. So the critics should have read this. And again, that was a widely read post on many different websites, the one where I reiterated my position on Todd. Again, this is why I cannot be on a panel, all right, making a judgment, because I've already made judgment. But all the people involved know that my standards are high, and therefore there's going to be no cover-up. And if there are false accusations, those will deal with things righteously. My job is to call on a panel, and an investigator, an investigator with over 20 years of police experience, to do things righteously before God for the sake of the body, for the sake of integrity, for the sake of alleged victims. Let us look at things honestly with integrity before God. That should be something everybody's applauding. Instead, where's your discernment to think that he should be in ministry? Either that's ignorance, in which case don't make the public statement. Find out what we actually believe. Or it's deception. Very grievous, friends. And look, I've been praying and agonizing over this because I don't want to be divisive. I keep reaching out to people to try to bring people together so we can talk in a common way for the good of the body. I think, for example, some of the folks that are cessationists, they have so much to offer to charismatics, and charismatics have so much to offer to cessationists that if we could sit and learn from each other, we could bless each other, even if we still have our differences. But here's what I wrote in Authentic Fire, okay? Let me quote it to you. Please allow me to make myself perfectly clear. For the most part, I avoid Christian TV, although there are more and more good networks coming to the fore in many fine individual programs, finding some of it downright embarrassing, if not outright despicable, especially some of the manipulative fundraising, which I find absolutely sickening. Virtually all of these TV abuses take place in charismatic circles. How tragic and how inexcusable. This is in my book, Authentic Fire. Plus, I addressed it over 25 years earlier already. In the days of what was called the Lakeland Revival, I noted in my journal that it was an accident waiting to happen. Sharing my concerns with my colleagues and coworkers, although I never attended any of the meetings and watched only two services online, one of them absolutely horrified me, as some of the most respected charismatic leaders in the nation gathered to lay hands on the main leader, Todd Bentley, in what seemed to be a kind of coronation service. Some of these men were friends of mine, and I was so grieved over what was taking place that I had to turn the meeting off, unable to watch what seemed to me almost an act of self-mockery. My precious wife, Nancy, urged me to sit down with her some days later and watch the entire ceremony recorded online, and it was even worse the second time around. Discussing that meeting with a charismatic leader from England a few months later, we both felt as if it signified some level of divine discipline on the charismatic Church of America, exposing our lack of discernment. Again, I say this to reiterate it, that I am the last person to minimize some of the problems we are facing. So friends, here's the reality. Here's the reality, friends. I have, in obedience to God, called out abuses for decades and reached out to individuals behind the scenes and at times, when appropriate, name names. But the constant baiting of the critics, the constant misleading tactics of the critics is only deflecting from the real issues. When you guys are willing to sit with me and debate and discuss the real issues, I'm in a heartbeat, with joy.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, someone pointed out to me that the whole woke culture, that, oh, you can't say that, oh, you can't say that, you went to a restaurant once, and that restaurant is owned by someone who knew someone who was a white supremacist, you're a white supremacist. Very similar to the work of the hypercritics. Very, very similar. And you say, well, you need to name names more. Well, who were the super apostles that Paul had such issues with? I mean, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, he refers to them a lot, even says they're false workers, they're children of Satan, 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15, right? What were their names? We don't know. Maybe there's a name, maybe not, but for the most part, we don't know. He talked about what they did, right? He described their methods. The Corinthians figured out who he was talking about. False teachers mentioned every so often. You have a mention, Paul a mention, John a mention. But otherwise, they just refer to what the people do and the wrong doctrine, and that's sufficient. So I've done that for years and will continue to. And again, I have reached out plenty of times behind the scenes. If I have an open door to do it, I'll reach out behind the scenes first. If it's something of public concern and I don't get a response behind the scenes, then I'll address something publicly. But if it is for the good, if it is for the edification of the body, if we can make it a teachable moment. But you see, the hypercritics will strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. All right, so they'll get worked up over something and claiming, well, you claimed someone's legs grew on a video and it was a sham, and therefore we're calling you a heretic or something. And then they'll quote Martin Luther with no problem. It's like, whoa, hey, time out. Here, let me give you a couple of vintage Martin Luther quotes, all right? Oh, let's see here. Okay, every Christian is by faith so exalted above all things that by virtue of his spiritual power, he is Lord of all things without exception, so that nothing can do him any harm. As a matter of fact, all things are made subject to him and are compelled to serve him in obtaining salvation. That sounds like little God's teaching. I think you need to nail Luther as the precursor of the little God's teaching, which we have rejected many a time over the decades, all right? But that sounds like little God's theology, didn't it? We are little gods, Lord over all, right? Or how about this? During the Peasants' War, another Luther quote. Like the mules, who will not move unless you perpetually whip them with rods, he wrote. So the civil powers must drive the common people, whip, choke, hang, burn, behead, and torture them, that they may learn to fear the powers that be. And a peasant is a hog, for when a hog is slaughtered, it is dead. In the same way, the peasant does not think about the next life, otherwise he would behave very differently. And Luther's hailed, the great Martin Luther, and one of the great fathers, and so on. And I thank God for the good that came through Luther, and I grieve over the bad. But the flakiest charismatic doesn't say anything near that crazy, near that wrong. And then look at this. William McGrath was talking about this when he was in later years reproached for such violent language and for inciting, this is Martin Luther, and inciting territorial lords to mercilessly slaughter. They killed over 100,000 peasants. Luther answered defiantly, "It was I, Martin Luther, who slew all the peasants in the insurrection, for I commanded them to be slaughtered. All their blood is upon my shoulders, but I cast it on our Lord God, who commanded me to speak this way." And that's just a selection of some of the radical, extreme, deplorable quotes by Martin Luther. And yet people will follow him and laud him and quote him as if he's right under Paul, and then blast some flaky charismatic as a hellbound heretic. Friends, that's unequal weights and measures. That's unethical. And it's dangerous. Look, if you were in a real-life crisis, you found out that someone you love very dearly, very, very dear to you, had an incurable illness, a young person, and you wanted prayer for healing, you just, look, well, there's life, there's hope. The doctors can't do anything. God, we're crying out to you for a miracle. Would you go to the hypercritics? Or would you go to one of those charismatics? It's maybe a little flaky, but they seem to really love the Lord, and they seem to know how to touch God in prayer. Who would you go to? Or if you had someone that came under demonic power and needed deliverance, who would you go to? So, friends, I'm determined to edify, reach, help as many as I can, as many as I can. And I take time to do it. I love to debate, so it's in my nature to do it, but I avoid debating all the time because I want to help, I want to bless, I want to edify and strengthen, all right? And I'm reminded, Jesus in Matthew 23, speaking to the religious leaders, remember, that's who Jesus had the biggest problem with, the religious leaders. That he said, if we'd lived in the days of our ancestors, we'd not have taken part with them in the shedding of the blood of the prophets. So you testify against yourselves that you're the descendants of those who murdered the prophets, then they reject the Son of God. They reject the Spirit in their day. Friends, I'm a word guy. I'm a word person. I sift everything by the word, just like many of you do. And I look for fruit, lasting fruit, lasting fruit, lasting fruit. True disciples, that's what I live for. But do not dare judge me and my work by who I'm willing to condemn as a heretic and whether I'm willing to be the policeman of the charismatic movement and respond to every request. Hey, if I responded to some of the more extreme critics I looked at, I'd also have to damn John MacArthur and Paul Washer and Ravi Zacharias. Okay? I'm not going to play that game, friends. Not going to do it. And I've reached out privately so many times to folks and said, let's talk. Let's talk. Let's have a public dog. Let's have a private dog. Let's meet in private. Let's talk by phone. I've done it every way I know how. So I'm leaving that for now. Always feel free to call me with your questions. Always. But I'm leaving that for now, and I'm going to do my – if I can help you, great. If you won't listen to me unless I condemn certain people by name, hey, sorry. But I'm still here to help however I can. Let's glorify the Lord. Let's run a race. Let's lift up Jesus, right? I am taking – one call. Jeff in Maryland, thanks for holding and welcome to the Line of Fire. What's on your heart, man?
Hey, Dr. Michael, this is Jeff.
Yeah, the Jeff whose text I read earlier. Yes, go ahead, sir.
And all I want to say is that you are a man that is greatly beloved, especially by the people that know you. And it's really easy for the guy of the Apostasy Report and the Justin Peters and everybody that's a critic that has some issue with the charismatic movement to just take shot after shot after shot after shot, because I think they're bored in their level of spiritual development. So the next thing to do is to start devouring the body. And so I just want you to know, man, that you are a tremendous blessing to the body. Your commitment to the Lord is absolutely unquestionable. I want to say, as a matter of fact, just to help people, that, Mike, at times when you would come and stay with me, your commitment to the Lord was so relevant and so obvious that you'd be walking around the house. Nobody's listening. Nobody's questioning you or anything. You're just, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You're just talking to the Lord all the time. People need to understand that you're real. That's what I want people to know, is that you are absolutely who you say you are. And one of the reasons why I wanted to get to know you so early in the beginning of your ministry and my ministry is because I was looking for real people, and you were one of those guys. And so people need to understand that you're absolutely committed first to the Word, absolutely committed to the Word. And because you're committed to the Word, that set the foundation for you to move into deeper spiritual things, things that our cessationist brothers have a tremendous problem dealing with. But pride will always keep somebody away from the truth. But humility, when you finally come to the end of yourself with humility, you say, God, I don't know what I'm doing. Help me. That's when they can begin to open up to the truths that are there in the charismatic move and all of that. Things that they say were crazy. They must have forgot Jesus did things like put mud on people's eyes and told one of his guys to go out and get some money out of a fish and you know, all the things that he did. This is very typical of God to mess with our minds, to see what's in our heart. And so the thing I want people to understand about you is that you are a real person. You're not out to attack people, as I think our brothers that attack you so freely forget what the scriptures say about using righteous judgment, or even what it says in James about not criticizing or slandering your brother, because if you do, now you are a judge of the law. So, and they forget stuff like that. They're just busy being the policeman, and when they stand before the Lord, because I believe they will meet the Lord, but they ain't going to have many rewards.
Hey, well, Jeff, listen, first, I appreciate your kind words. And yeah, I remember staying back, Nancy and I back probably like 86, I think, way back.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I remember you had your first girl and pregnant. Adrian was pregnant with the second. So that's how old are they now?
Man, Jalethia is 35. Nancy is 32.
Yeah, this goes back, but anyhow, listen, I hope that Justin Peters and Todd Friel and Joshua Chavez and Chris Roseberg and J.D. Hall and Phil Johnson and John MacArthur and others that be on the other side, I hope they have great reward. I hope that God used them to touch many, 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 many people. And look, I'm not being a martyr for doing this, but it's utterly unpleasant to address these things all the time. I keep trying because I want to bring others together, and I want those that have genuine questions to get answers. But I hope I've made it clear why this is no sense, no use. It's not an equal playing field, and I'm not being met with the kind of integrity that I need to be met with. When it comes that way, hey, here I am. Let's have the dialogue. Let's have the discussion. So your questions are always welcome. But for now, friends, I'm done responding to the critics. And may all of us humble ourselves before God and grow in the grace and love and knowledge of Jesus. God bless you.